ditch on both sides of the road. You know, we can have too much of a diet of any one thing. When I grew up in church, I mean, when you went to church, you're just going to hear about sin. You're going to hear about it from the first amen to the benediction. You're going to hear about your sin. They put it on every point, every title, every outline. I mean, it was dedicated to keeping people away from sin. I don't know if that was all that bad, but I'd have to say a constant diet of that probably is not that good. We do need to hear some other things about the Lord too. Amen? But I want to talk to you a little bit about a certain type of sin today. The Bible tells us that those who cover it shall not prosper. And so Proverbs chapter number 28, verse number 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. That's pretty clear, isn't it? But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now that's a two-sided coin, isn't it? God doesn't leave us in a depraved state and say, you're done. No, He gives us a way out. And we are guilty of sin. Am I the only one? I mean, I think you probably are too. But God doesn't leave us there. If we'll confess it and forsake it, we shall have mercy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach this morning. Help us, Lord, as the time clock is ticking. Help us to be brief. But Lord, help us to be thorough. And Lord, may the Spirit of God work and do His office work in our hearts, every one of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible tells us, Psalm chapter 1, whatsoever the righteous man does, the righteous man, whatever he does, shall prosper. The Bible says in Psalm 35, God hath pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. God wants you and I to prosper. That's very quick for us to grab a hold of that word prosperity and read into it the things that we want to be in prosperity. But the truth is, our first thought, which is money, yeah, right? Is that what comes to your mind, a big dollar sign? When you hear about prosperity, there's a big dollar sign in front of it. And that's the way free enterprise is here in the United States of America. I mean, even at the hardest times that you and I have seen in a long time, if you put your mind to it and you know how to accomplish things in time as a diversity in this financial world, you can still become a millionaire right here in the United States of America. You can prosper financially. But understand, biblical prosperity can be linked to finances, but it's not confined by it. There's more to biblical prosperity than money. Matter of fact, if we want to know the truth about this, God, we probably got a little more money than God can trust us with right now. You say, well, preacher, why would you say such a thing? Well, let me ask you a question. You answer it. Don't answer it out loud. Just answer it to yourself. When's the last time you got a good sum of money and it brought you closer to God? Are you like me? When you get a good sum of money, you say, well, I'm going to pay God enough to keep Him out of the picture. I'm going to go ahead and take care of that problem. And then when I get done, I'm going to go buy me some things that I want, that I've been waiting on. And we buy ourselves a few more idols. Lord help, I don't need to go down that road, do I? But we're talking about biblical prosperity here. What is biblical prosperity? I believe when we read and study the Scripture, we'll find it in a place that's called peace. Peace with God. That's biblical prosperity. Peace with God, a relationship that God loves and you love, and your needs are being met. As we find in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's biblical prosperity. It doesn't say we're going to be rich here on this earth, but biblical prosperity does offer riches. Prosperity under God on this earth is a life of general welfare and well-being under God and in His service that does lead to riches. But it may not happen here on this side, because the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 19 that we're not to lay up treasures here on this earth where the moth and rust do corrupt, but rather lay up our treasures in heaven where the moth and rust doth not corrupt, nor thieves have the option to break in and steal. So one of these days, if we have served God in peace and in biblical prosperity here on this earth, He's met our needs all the way through. And when we cross over on the other side, we'll see the riches that He is going to bestow upon us. So prosperity does include riches, but not of the sort that you and I might think. You say, well, my God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Well, yes, He does, but He has chosen to give it to me. I don't know about you, but He's chosen to give it to me one hamburger at a time. I guess He figures that's all I can handle. We're talking about biblical prosperity. God truly does want us to prosper. The reason that most people, I'm talking about people like you and I are sitting right here on church pews this morning. The reason most people don't reach the full potential of their prosperity and their joy in what God has given them in the way of salvation and life here on this earth is because of the text message that we read this morning just a few moments ago. He that covereth his sin. And I'm not trying to make you feel down on yourself this morning. I'm trying to get you a way out unto the prosperity that God is holding in place for you. If we could just get this behind us. We practice this so often. Covering our sin. And it's a pride thing, isn't it? It's a pride thing. Unconfessed sin. God wants us to be blessed. There's only one thing that can stop it. That's it. Unconfessed sin. It's that simple. But we hang on to these little cliches like, oh, to err is human, and to forgive is divine. Or, God knows that we're human. And that's true. But He also knows that we're human enough to sin and try and cover it up. That's why He let Proverbs 28, verse number 13, come down through the lineage of Bible knowledge so that you and I can be aware of who we are and what we're incapable of. We won't be able to conjure up the blessings of God if we continue to cover sin. Someone once said, he who falls into sin is a man. He who grieves over sin is a saint. He who boasts over sin is a devil. Now, sin, yep, we're going to do it. We're going to do it as a man. It's befalling to every one of us. We're going to sin. We cannot help it. It runs deep in our bloodlines. Adam gave us that heritage. We're going to be sinners. Some worse than others, but we all are. When we get saved, that sin will lead us to grief. When you have Jesus Christ as your Savior and the Spirit of God moves into you and begins to indwell your being, that will grieve you. You will not feel at home with God when you are guilty of sin that you have not confessed. That's just the way that works. And if we continue to go on as a man and never curtail that sin, we can get so far off the beaten course that God intended humanity to go, we can even boast in our sin. That's what the man was talking about. He who boasts of his sin is of the devil. He's totally under control of the evil or the underworld. There are those people around us today. But if you're a saint, I want to talk to the saints of God for just a little while. If you're a saint, you're born again. In other words, you will sin. You will sin. We're not saved unto sinless perfection, but we're saved unto sainthood that is vulnerable still to a flesh that is sin-cursed. Your soul got saved. The Spirit of God that lives within us. I mean, He's perfect. But this flesh that you and this carnal man, which contains the natural man, the sinful nature, it's still very much a part of our life. And he's got an appetite for sin like a hog has an appetite for mud. I mean, he just loves to be in it. You say, well, now, preacher, do you have an appetite for sin? If I don't stay in this word, I do. If I don't stay on my knees before God, I do. Oh yeah, we can all drift. All we have to do is get off of the course that God has set for us and get our eyes off Jesus Christ. And we all are apt to sin beyond our own imagination. The Bible says that our heart is deceitful. It's wicked above our imagination. Who could know it, the Bible says? Oh, we're all capable of things. If we get out of the course that God has set for us, we are capable of some things that's indescribable in the way of sin. I don't even like to go there in my mind. Turn with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. We're going to borrow from the words of David concerning sin that has been covered up. Psalm 51. Let's talk about the cost of covered sin. Remember now, he who covereth his sin shall not prosper. We can illustrate as we borrow from these words of David after he committed the great sin with Bathsheba. He's guilty. He, even though being the greatest king of all Israel ever to live, he was also the man after God's own heart. We know that David was much of a spiritual man. He was gifted beyond the gifts of most individuals. And God had a special place for him in the grand scheme of the history of the house of Israel. But in the midst of all of that, he's guilty of adultery with another man's wife and even staging war events that would lead to his murder. And David tried to cover that sin. Tried to cover it. And he tried to cover it so much that finally God said, enough of this willful ignorance about what you've done against me. And he sent the man Nathan, the prophet Nathan, to the house of David. And he took that long finger of the prophets and he pointed it in the face of David. And he said, thou art the man, David. It's you that God's got this morning. On this sinfulness that you're feeling guilty about. And David broke. And in verse number 1 of chapter number 51, he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Once David came to grip with it, he began to feel the effects of covered sin. Covered sin dirties the soul. Obviously, David felt dirty, not physically, but spiritually. David was a king. He bathed in marble tubs. He wore the silken robes. He had perfume and all the fragrances that were brought. No, he was not physically dirty, but he was dirty enough spiritually to say, God, wash me. Wash me. Listen, if we can knowingly sin, if we can know, now we can sin without knowing. We're so good at it. We can sin without knowing. I remember back days after I got saved. I mean, God changed my life. I was just a foul-mouthed individual. And we worked among carpet layers and we all had a vocabulary of words that were just so evil. And they saw the change in my life and they wanted to make me break. And so they tried every way and I was determined that I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to go back to that foulness of vocabulary that I used to have. And they put a pack of firecrackers under the seat in the truck that we were working out of that day. And they timed it just right. Somebody lit the fuse, and I came in and sat down on the seat. And when I got set down on the seat, those firecrackers started going off. Bam, 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 bam. First thing to come to my mind is, who in the world would have done something like this to me? And then I just went blank. And the guy who was driving the truck come in, and he was laughing, and he said, do you know what you just said? And I gathered that it wasn't good. See, I sinned and I didn't even know that I had sinned. We're good at it. But if you can knowingly sin and without feeling dirty inside, there's reason for great concern. Either you're mentally impaired, and I say that truthfully, I'm not trying to make fun, or the Holy Spirit does not reside in you, because listen, it's the office work of the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin. And the Holy Spirit is God. Is that correct? He's not going to fall down on his responsibility. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 1, if we're saved, we do have him. After that, you have believed, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And then Romans chapter number 8, verse number 9 says, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, which is the same, they're one and the same, the Holy Spirit of promise, the Spirit of Christ, that he's none of his. So if you can sin without feeling dirty inside, if you can sin and God doesn't rehearse it back to you, there's something severely wrong. You see, when you get saved, you don't become perfect, but God sends the Holy Spirit along with a blanket of forgiveness and mercy, and he puts that blanket of forgiveness and mercy on you. It's kind of like your mother did right after you were born. You were born again. Spiritually, the Spirit puts the blanket upon you. That's to keep you protected from the elements. God does that for you and I as we're born again and new babes in Christ. He puts that blanket of forgiveness and mercy over us, and he checks on us from time to time, making sure that we don't kick out from underneath that blanket. Just like your mother checked on you. And when you do kick out from underneath that blanket, he comes and he says, hey, be still, settle down. I'm going to put this blanket of mercy back upon you. Listen, if you can sin and it's not being rehearsed back to you, if the Holy Spirit is not telling you that you've sinned and that you need to get this right with God, there's reason for great concern that that blanket is not even on you, because you've not been saved. The difference between a saved man and a lost man concerning sin is that a lost man leaps into sin and he loves it. And a saved man lapses into sin and he loathes it, highly detests it. I think about another thing in verse number 3, David says, he says, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. He says, it's around me all the time. I tried to play the game of willful ignorance, but I still thought about it. What I did with Bathsheba and what I did to Uriah, her husband. Yeah, I played the game, the big charade. But my sin's ever before me, and even now it's before me more than it ever has been. Now, there's a lot of things that dominate the mind, but that's what covered sin will do. Covered sin will dominate your mind. Here's another thing, and I'm going to stop right here long enough to say this. Covered sin will dominate your mind, but also those who are obsessively, compulsively involved with confession. Sin. Yeah, we've got some things going on there too, and I want to relieve that this morning. If you're one of those people that just can't stop confessing, there are people that are that way, and I'm not talking to you this morning. Okay, There are people out there that feel like they got to confess every sin that they've ever committed from the very time they ever, you know, can remember. And if they don't get all that sin confessed, that they're not going to make it. There are a lot of people like that. I've ran into several cases of that over the years. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about people who have covered their sin. My verse to those people, if we have any among us today, is 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You don't have to reconfess it. You don't have to confess it. Oh, just confess it, turn from it, walk away from it and say, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to look back. But for those of us who have covered it and we're going forward wondering why the blessings of God is not on our life, our mind is being dominated by it. You say, well, I don't think about it anymore. Well, okay, it's either in your conscience or it's in your subconscious. The Bible talks about Paul warning Timothy about a group of people that had turned away from the faith and their conscience was seared as with a hot iron. When you burn something with a hot iron, like if you got a scar from an iron of any sort, like a branding iron or something, it destroys not only the skin pigment, but it destroys the nerve endings just under that. And you touch that scar and there's no feeling, you're insensitive there. That's what that's talking about. And we can harden our conscience. We can run our sin out of our conscience. We can sear it to insensitivity. Just like a hot iron would. But the problem with that is we've ran it out the front door and it's came around the side of the house and went in the basement window. You don't get rid of covered sin. It's now in your subconscious. And you might have lost track of the name of it, the tag, the label, whatever. But it's in that big bag that's in the basement. And now it's showing up in your psyche. It's showing up in your underlying elements of a human being. And it's showing up as stress or an inability to get along with the people around you. Because we know in our heart of hearts, in our subconscious, that all is not well with God. And it shows up in busy hands. I can't find enough things to do. It shows up in busy feet. We got to go. We got to keep going. Got to keep our mind occupied. It shows up with new toys. We got to find something new. Why? Not saying that every time this is the case, but in some cases it could be that we got some underlying issues with God need to be tended to. It's not going away. It will continue to dominate our mind. It will continue to lead us until we uncover it. That's a hard thing to do. To uncover sin, especially if it's been laying there for a long time. We got to uncover it and get the forgiveness that only God can give. There's two types of wounds concerning the human psychic and soul. There's a clean wound. Sorrow is a clean wound. Due to circumstances beyond our control, we all experience sorrow, don't we? Some of the unspoken requests this morning probably stem from sorrow of one sort or another. Many suffer in our midst even now from sorrow. But God can and will heal that broken heart or that sorrow that we are so encumbered by at this point through time and grace. It can be healed. It's a clean wound. But there's a dirty wound. And it won't be healed until it's cleansed by the antiseptic of Calvary. It'll dominate the mind. It'll continue to fester It'll continue to infect until it is confessed and put away. I'm talking to you about some pretty serious stuff here. I don't know what the labels of your sin is, but I do know this. John spoke to the church in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 1. He said, "My little children, I write unto you these things that ye sin not." You ought not to sit out in the run of a day expecting to sin. You ought to strive not to sin. If we should live our lives in such a way and so focused on God that when we do sin, it ought to be a surprise to us. What did I just do? I hadn't planned on this. But he said, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Folks, we're not without hope. We're not left in depravity. If we confess and forsake our sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have someone that will stand in for us. And our sins can be forgiven and we can be free. Here's the way it works. If we cover our sin, God's going to uncover it. I don't like that. I've had that happen to me a few times. I played the little game of, you know, Mr. Pious. It's happened in my family. It's happened in my church. It's happened in closed groups, you know, and they look at the preacher and then all of a sudden something is revealed that it's sin before everybody. If we try and cover it up, God will uncover it. Be not deceived. God's not mocked whatsoever man sow, that shall he also reap. You say, well, that's just that old time preacher. Well, you can label anything you want to. It's Bible. Lord, help us. We got to realize what our enemy and who our enemy is. And this is sinfulness that stands between us and the blessings that God wants us to have. Oh, I got to quit. I'll share this with you. There's a few people out there that can get help. My dad and I grew up as we trapped. Steel traps. I know that's inhumane. I'm sorry if it offends you, but that was a lifestyle. We grew up hard times. We caught what we ate, shot what we ate. That's the way it was in East Tennessee. And there's two types of things that are caught in their nature. You can walk up on what you've caught in that trap, and it can realize that it's in a trap, and it wants to be freed. I'm talking about even wild animals. They're not as aggressive as maybe another one will be, but they realize they're in a trap. They're smart enough. And you can actually put your foot on the release spring of that trap and you can release that animal without too much resistance. You can help those animals. But then there's the other sort, which covers the majority of things that are caught. They don't realize it's a trap. They don't want your hands on them to confine them. And they, even though you're trying to help them, will eat you alive. That's the way we preachers feel sometimes, Brother Hobson. Is that not correct? There's some people we can help, but there's some people out there that are in that trap and they don't want to let go. You know, and tell you why? It says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them. That's why we don't want out of the trap. Because we know we got to turn from them. He said, well, if I turn from them, I'm just going to do the same thing over. Yeah, join the club. I'm not trying to be unrealistic, and I'm not trying to minimize this. But understand, God knows. He knew when He saved you that you were going to sin. Every one that you've ever done, He also knows every broken promise, He also knows every time you've repented and then turned back to the sin that you repented. He knew all that when He forgave you. He knew all that when He sent Christ to the cross. But what He wants you to do is every time you sin, don't give in to it. Keep a short account on it. Don't let it build up. Don't let it crawl into the basement with a bag so big that you've long since forgotten the names of them. Boys, a lot of us, maybe even this morning, we've carried a bag of unconfessed sins in this room. And they're holding us back. And God wants to bless us. And He can't do it. We need to come clean before God. My sins, as David said, are ever before me. God speak. He's not speaking to me about your sin. He's speaking to me about my sin. Let Him speak to you this morning. Whatever it is that's on your mind, you need to come. If you haven't confessed, if you have, praise God, you're free from it. But if there's things in your life that need to be confessed, that's what this invitation's all about this morning. If my son could come, is that all right? If you come this morning, bring your guitar. We're going to have a short season of invitation. Listen, there's nobody here but us this morning. You say, well, if I come up there, everybody know I'm a sinner. Too late. Yeah, the word's out on you. Matter of fact, truth be known, if we really search deep enough, I'm going to tell you, this altar ought to be filled. Lord, and not to the credit of anybody speaking or anybody that has done anything, but to the credit of what happened 2022 years ago, Jesus took the big deal out of sin. You, all we have to do is come forward and confess it before God and turn from it. What else are we looking for? God's not making us pay anything. The price has already been paid. Judgment has been served. And if we've got, there's no reason why there should be sin in anybody's life in this auditorium this morning. No reason. But pride will keep us from it. Because you're afraid of what I might think. Or I'm afraid of what you, hey, don't worry about what I think. I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where I found bread. I found it at Calvary. Husbands, wives, young people, Sunday school teachers. How is it? Let's open up the altar. I'm going to pray. Cole, you sing. Father, I pray that you'd help us now in this altar call. Lord, may no one go from this room with covered sin. We need you to bless us. We need your prosperity. Help us to be honest before you in Jesus' name.